Shalom. And he said, well, I hate that it's kind of this, but baby, I was doing fine. How do you think that I survived beyond 25 for you? Shall I, the end is growing. You're trembling, whining, holding back our tears. And the day's rising, we're sinking, shall I?
Pretty much, you know, this is how it goes. I'm just gonna play songs that I made up. So. I like doing it this way. I remember why I wrote them this way. Sometimes I'll write a song, and it'll be because I was thinking about a bass drum or something. And then I get hung up on other details, and then when I finish it, I make the assumption that there's probably not much there, but when I strip it back down to the piano, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, that's a song, even without the bass drum, so.
Telling me I can take anything I like. You don't know me to be so polite, but you've done no wrong. You've done no wrong. Get out of my sight. It's easy to be. Doesn't mean anything to me.
Started singing three-bar harmony to one song, and so I cultivated that. Now everyone sings three-part harmony on, so I've decided to take it up to four-part counterpoint. It's not really counterpoint, it's contrapuntal in nature. But I'll show you the parts. For the most part, the West Coast seems to do this pretty well. It has from time to time shat the bed. But don't worry, if it doesn't sound quite right in rehearsal, we'll get it right for the show. Okay. So, here, I'll show you parts, and it'll be like this. The four of them, the people with the lower voices, dudes mostly, will sing this first part and then just repeat it, just loop it. You got that, and keep doing it. Then we'll add the second part, you add that part, keep doing it. Next part's a little bit higher, do that. Everyone's still looping, don't stop. And then the fourth part should be reserved for, you know, sopranos, people gone to music school, anyone who knows how to deal with the intervallic mess that is the last part. Okay, so people with the lowest voices, then we'll start. This is part one. It's in six. It's one, two, three, four. Da 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 da.
Ties and a suit, brown box, mothballs and bowling shoes. This opinion so you'd never have to choose. Pretty soon you'll be an old bastard too. You get smaller while the world gets big. The more you know you don't know shit. The whiz band will never fit you like the whiz kid did. So why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? 'Cause it's okay if you don't know me, baby. Why you gotta act like you know when you don't know? 'Cause it's okay if you don't know everything. Close your eyes, close your ears, young man. 'Cause you've seen and heard all an old man can. fans that can't wait to grow up so they can kiss that ass. They get nostalgic about the last 10 years. The last 10 years haven't even passed. Yo, why you gotta act like you know? Tears land on the hand on the chest. The old bastard had a paradigm arrest. He got smaller, the world got big. The more he knew we did not know shit. The whiz man never fit him like the whiz kid did.
Every night in the first half of these, I'm trying to scare myself by playing something I'm completely not prepared to do. And last night, that went very badly. But it's good. It keeps me honest. Well, I wouldn't say that, but it keeps me. So anyway, this. This is a request, but I'm going to take it completely sideways, so it's not really a well, I'm cheating. What I'm going to do is, and I'll explain this. The album Way to Normal came out in 2008, and that was a big year of leaking music, and the music industry didn't know how to deal with the leak. They treated it like some kind of crazy federal offense, and it wasn't clear yet what was happening. And now, you know, fuck it. which was my attitude to begin with. But so we were told the record was about to come out. We were told it's leaked. So it's going to start popping up on all these something called a torrent site or something. So the record label was beside themselves and hoping to bomb somebody over. And I had this idea that what we should do, and we were, mind you, on a small plane from somewhere in Germany, I think, to Ireland, right before this came out, and pretty drunk. And I had this idea that we should make up completely false versions of all the songs. And they would be not the same words, and the words would be terrible. And whatever music we could make up, just like at the moment. So we booked a studio when we landed in Ireland and took about 24 hours and just kicked out one song after another. Usually take about 2 hours to think this shit up and then record it. And so this song was the fake version of the original song, which was called Bitch Went Nuts. I'm going to make a long story long now, because there's another thing about this. It's amazing when you, like, the song was, like, had, you know, connotated what you would think. I mean, it's not a subtle title. And I thought, okay, well, what's the first story that comes to mind, sitting here with my bad doers on an airplane landing into Ireland? And I thought, okay, here's the scene. This guy, he's a young conservative lawyer, and he's going by force to the Christmas office party, and he's trying to impress his bosses, but because he's obviously the kind of guy is working really hard to establish himself someday as a partner at the firm, that he runs into a girl at a Starbucks on the way and just says, would you like to just come, because it'll look better if I have a date? So she says, fine, and then once she gets there, she does something that she's never done before, because she's now found herself in the community of upstanding, church-going, conservative citizens, and she's been offered cocaine. So she does some cocaine, and then she starts saying all of these things, which are horrifying, because we all know that there's nothing worse than some other fire starts talking about politics at the party, right? So, let's see if I can do this. I'm going to do it with one hand and a shaker. I took her with me to the Christmas office party. Mistake. And started spouting all her liberal garbage. Bro, I'm so ashamed. I've never heard such shit in all my life. I'll flamingo to mold you into the perfect wife, but you blew my hopes sky high. The bitch went nuts. Started talking about politics to all my friends and bosses. Bullshit from the internet, the bitch went nuts. I'll never be a partner at this rate. Not with Jane fucking Fonda Jr. as my date. Oh no. Oh no, no. Oh. Stringer, you should have seen her. When she freaked out and keyed John Franklin Jr.'s brand new Beamer. She called us bigots with her fist in the air. And as she did, we all could see all her armpit hair. A fucking asshole, the bitch went nuts. Started talking about vegetables to the wives of my co-workers. Yeah, cruelty to animals, she thinks because she reads books, she must be smarter. But now when I close my eyes, I'll be fucking Jimmy Carter. Oh no. Oh no. Oh. from 9 to 12 p.m. instead of telling your conspiracy theories to all my bosses and all my friends. The bitch went nuts. She started putting down the Christians and all about what the white man did to the Indians. How could I know that she'd never done blow before? She shouted, fuck Dick Cheney, and then she puked on the Franklin's floor. Oh no. Okay, here's another one that requires a little bit of a long story. It doesn't require, but I just enjoy telling where they came from. I always, you know, I play rock bands, and I never got the opportunity to be like a folk player who's like tuning his guitar and telling about how they wrote some shit on the bus. So now I get to do that, except I can't tune a piano to save my life. So anyway, so this song, the seeds of this come from a long time ago. When in 1998 in Cincinnati, Ohio, my band was on tour, and we were just starting to become successful with our first single, or the first single that was, well, a lot of them had done terribly before that, but this single did well, and it could have been controversial. It was about teenage abortion, and I just didn't touch it with a 10-foot pole because I felt like it was a song that was just about. It was about a feeling more than anything, and I didn't want to get in the shit show of it all. I just wanted to tell the truth. So anyway, so that song is out, and this guy comes walking backstage, kind of made his way past our relatively surmountable security. And he was like, he walked in with his, you know, like, kind of short guy with a lot of muscles and black t-shirt and blonde tattoos, and tattoos at the time were, you know, such a, you know, made him a little bit tougher than, not quite such a middle class thing as it is now. But in there with his tattoos. I mean, I think tattoos are fine, but I mean, he's looked more like jail kind of. And he said, I'm not a fan. A phrase that I would come to hear a lot over the next 20 years. A lot of artists walk up to me and say that all the time. And so he said that, but my girlfriend, she is, and I'm wondering what that song is about. Well, I didn't really want to talk about it. That's why I wrote it. So I'm going to not do that. I didn't really know what to say. So he said, well, look, I know what the song's about. And just as soon as he said that, all hell broke loose, and his feet were kicking. My tour manager had him by both arms from the back, and was pulling him out the back, and that's when I saw he had a knife. It's like, oh, okay. He's like that. And okay, so we just, so we played the show. But I started thinking, and I see that a lot where, this here's the other part of the song, which is new relationships that you overlook a lot of stuff in the beginning that you won't overlook in the third verse. And one of those things is usually like tastes in art and music, and people can get jealous over those things. You know, if one thing implies that someone's more highbrow than the other, or they're full of shit because I know you don't really like that, or I don't like people that like the shit that you like, but I'll date you for another two weeks. And so these things become personal after a while, you know? And so anyway, so that's what I did with this song, was to chronicle that sort of jealousy in a relationship from the first to the third week. Goddamn.
fame. But I understand if there is something that moves you. It's not my cup of tea. It's part of what makes you
face. Some strange machine.
hit the bottom. I thought it was my fault.
Can you?
back once you know. You don't know me at all. An errant dog who occasionally escapes and needs a short release, then why the fuck would you want me back? Maybe it's because
you don't know me at all. You don't know me at all. Oh, don't know me.
So what I'm trying to say is, what I'm trying to tell you, it's not going to come out like I want to say, because the nail only change it.
Say it!
Okay, so here's how the rest of the set works. I'll tell you exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. So I'm going to play this next song. And then when I finish the song, I'll stand up and wave, smile, thank you, bow, and I'll walk off the stage. At that point, the stage lights will go down, the house lights will come up, and strains of Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass will come forth through the speakers. And this will be your invitation to get a piece of paper, and pens are provided, pens and paper in the lobby. They'll be in the lobby. And you can get these, write your song request, and fold it into a paper airplane, wait for instructions, and then launch it when the 10987 song comes. Now, some people prematurely launch. That is not respect the process, sir. That is not anything to be ashamed of. But what's best is if everyone tosses their plane at the same time. So you'll listen for the launch codes, which are now public. So that's what's going to happen. I'll play this song, I'll wave, walk off, Herb Alpert, write your song down in the lobby, fold it up, wait for the instructions, don't premature those. What's that? I love the record Going Places, so there'll be three songs from Going Places. That's just a beautiful album. Okay, and one more story before the last song. This last one I wrote came from when I was a kid, and I was playing in a band, 14 years old. The rest of the band were like 16 and 17, so they could all get in the car and drive off, right? Which they did, and left me there with the lead guitar player's mom. So, she cornered me, and she had her old nasty sleeping gown on, and been watching Judge Judy all day or something. Never left the house, knew everything. Like, that's when I realized that you can be old and not know anything. Like, if you live to be 250 years old, I'll listen. you know, because then you've lived and died over the course of a civilization or two. But otherwise, I'm very skeptical of what people say. And this woman was just talking a stream of shit, and she was drunk every time. They would leave me with her, like, every rehearsal, and to go driving off in this old Buick convertible. Anyway, so, you know, I started thinking about the things that she said a couple years later. Most of it was kind of crazy shit about what she'd do if she was a president. And, you know, she was a prophet. Because I've heard all of it now for the last fucking year. In fact, it's possible that the song has been rendered, like, kind of tame now. But here it is. It was a song on the first record, and I don't play that often. Let me see if I don't suck.
Tobacco just rolling down his chair.